In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. From the earliest years of the Church, the 1st of January was celebrated as the circumcision of the Lord. And it was celebrated for multiple reasons, not as a merely as a commemoration of an event that happened 8 days after. But if you read Saint Augustine's writings, he says that this is also our Catholic response to the pagan goings on, because from December 17th through January 1st, the Roman Empire was in chaos every year. It was something like Mardi Gras, Carnival, Spring Break, New Year's Eve, everything together for 2 wild weeks of paganism. And schools, government, businesses, everything was shut down so that people could be dedicated full-time to nonsense. And Augustine speaks about how the 3 days prior to January 1st were particular days of penance, with certain litanies and penitential psalms recited. And then the 1st itself was a day of penance and fasting. This was the Catholic response to worldliness. But there's something much more profound than simply a response to a pagan silly season. This is the drawing of the first blood of our Savior. Our Lord shed his blood 7 times, the first of which was in this mystery that we contemplate today, his circumcision. If you're familiar with St. Bridget's 12 years prayer, we meditate on those 7 bloodlettings in the life of our Lord, starting with the circumcision, the agony in the garden, the flogging, the crowning with thorns, the carrying of the cross where his shoulder was wounded, the crucifixion itself, and then the piercing with the lance. There's an ancient collect for this Mass that says, O God, who grant us to celebrate the 8th day of the Savior's birth, facnos muniri, make us, or it says, defend us, better said, by the everlasting divinity of him, by whose dealing in the flesh we have been restored, or you can translate it as purchased. What's interesting is the language of commerce that's used here, the dealings and the purchase. Why did the Church want to use these terms that seem almost worldly? They have to do with business, of a deal. Well, because of the fact of the precious blood itself, that is the price that was paid for our souls. And this precious blood, as stated, was first shed on the 8th day after the birth of Christ. Paul says, you were bought with great price. Glorify and bear God in your bodies. And St. Peter says, you were not redeemed, that is, bought back with corruptible things such as silver or gold from your vain conversation of the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. And so, the circumcision is the formal beginning of the passion of our Lord. And therefore, Christmas season, as joyous as it is substantially united to this Paschal mystery of passion and resurrection. The antiphon last night in Vespers and this morning in Lauds says, O wondrous exchange, and the word it uses is commercium, such as business deal. O wondrous exchange, the creator of the human race, taking upon himself a living body, has deigned to be born of a virgin, and without seed coming forth as from a man, has bestowed upon us his divinity. Now, in the early church, there were some doubters of our Lord's divinity, but that wasn't the biggest problem amongst the heretics. The notion of, for in the Greco-Roman mind, of a God coming from heaven and pretending to be a man, that wasn't so difficult for them to grasp, but that he was truly man. This was really the problem for many in the early church, that God, the eternal Logos, no beginning, no end, now takes upon himself finite matter. And for these dualists, this was very difficult to accept. And so that's why the church uses these terms of commerce, because it is something that is definitive. There's no going back. And so when our Lord, the divine Logos, the second person of the Trinity, takes upon himself human nature, he does it for good. And even in heaven now, in his sacred humanity, he has emotions, human emotions. They're perfect, obviously. They're not disordered like ours. He even has passions, but they're perfectly ordered. And so this is really why the church wanted to use language like that, this language of exchange and commerce. And the shedding of blood in the circumcision also reveals the reality of the human nature of our Lord. Notice, too, that this happens on the eighth day. When God created the world, it took 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. So an eighth day means the beginning of a new creation week. And so our baptism then, it makes us a new creation. We are substantially changed in our souls through the divine indwelling, through the infusion of grace when the baptismal waters were poured over our heads. And this makes us members of the family of God. It makes us adoptive children. But it also reveals the end of the old law, circumcision. And now, instead of circumcision, something that was seen as a punishment and a remedy for original sin, we have a lasting solution, which is baptism. And so we are to be circumcised in our hearts, and that means configured with Christ. Protestants who don't accept baptism of infants have some explaining to do, since the circumcision was offered to infants. And so this baptism is something of a fulfillment of what was before revealed to us as a sign in shadows. Further, the effects of baptism is that we are made into new creatures, as St. Paul says, new men. We've taken off the old man and we've put on the new man. And this putting on the new man, Paul uses it in a couple of letters in Ephesians and Colossians, putting on the new man. It sounds like a rather banal term, putting on, like we would put on a coat, but that's not what he says. He says, endusastaito, which means to kind of fall into one's clothing and be absolutely surrounded by them. If you've ever seen a picture of Cardinal Burke in his Capa Magna, where he's just like he's a big robe with a head sticking out, well, that's kind of what Paul is talking about. We are just called to be immersed in Christ through the grace of baptism. And so we've been made anew. We are the new creation thanks to the baptism. We've put off the old man. And a new year is a good time to remember this reality, to have a heart that is circumcised, a heart that is only for our Lord. And what a beautiful program, spiritual program, it would be for this coming year to have a very difficult but possible penance, which is actually glorious too, as our goal, our spiritual program, to simply do God's will in everything. Whatever it is I say, whatever it is I think, whatever it is I do, that it be pleasing to Him. That in itself is a great penance, but it's also the fastest way to holiness. I recommend you ask your guardian angel daily to help you to be docile to His promptings. He is like the echo chamber of the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking in your own heart. He's the one who speaks to you in your conscience, do this, don't do that. One of the secrets of the spiritual life is precisely this. The more you speak to your guardian angel, the more easily you perceive His promptings. And all He's going to do is say, do this, don't do that. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost, amen.